Yes, welcome back to RSN Central on this Thursday morning, and he has arrived today, Mickey Barley. Of course, we're in Tasmania yesterday. Mickey, good morning.
A day too late, Gareth, but yes. I'm back, and glad you made it back from Tasmania, safe and sound.
I tell you what, mate, I've got a lot of friends over in Perth, and I wouldn't go there for at least maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Who? You wouldn't?
No, you.
No, yeah, I'd nearly agree with you there. Yesterday was a tough day for me in the in the media landscape over in Western Australia.
So what did you do? Just explain to our audience. You bagged your former football club.
Well, I didn't bag them, mate. I probably had an opinion. It's what we try and do in the media. I've actually started my own radio venture with former teammate of mine, Lee Spur, who we came out with some bold predictions around the season ahead and around those West Australian teams. And I've just made a little statement that, well, initially, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Fremantle will struggle this year, and I think they're
finished last.
Well, that I went with that. How I would validate it is I think they're in the bottom four and contending out with that last spot with probably Gold Coast, Adelaide, we better be careful. We've got a couple of Adelaide Stars on tomorrow, so we don't want to cause too much of a ruckus with that. But I think they'll be a developing year for Fremantle, and I did say in this radio show that I think they can make the eight as soon as next year.
Okay.
So there is call. Hey, that didn't get mentioned in the article over in the West Australian, though.
Well, Mickey, you've turned into the Cane Corns of WA media already, and one of your great
in
mates.
In one day.
Former teammate and a superstar for the great side, the Brisbane Lions. Lachie Neal's about to join us here on RSN Central. Good morning to you, Lach. Thanks for joining us.
No worries at all, guys. Thanks for having me, and feel sorry for you, Mick. I know how crazy those WA fans can be.
Oh, they can be, mate. You left the club, you left them in the lurch, and they still love you over there. I make one statement that I think they'll be just mediocre this year, but good the next year, and they just jump all over me, mate. Yeah, how did you find it when you left Fremantle?
Oh, I wouldn't say they love me, mate. I don't know where you pulled that from. Although I didn't touch the ball much when I went over there, I got booed every time I did. So,
hey, Lachie, how do you think? What do you think of former players, and this is I'm not just saying this because Mickey's here, but former players that go into the media, and when they're into the media, they need to have an opinion. That's what they get paid for. Do you like that, or do you just think it's part of the game these days?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is part of the game. You see it a lot. A lot of former players have really good opinions and a really good knowledge of the game, so that's why they get the jobs in the media a lot of the time. So I really enjoy the media side of the game and do a little bit of it myself. So, certainly don't hold any grudges against people that have opinions, that's for sure.
And one example of that around your club going into this season was Cane Corns, actually, wasn't he? Was a bit pessimistic about the view of the Lions for 2020, and you came out and said, mate, come and have a look at what we do. How did all that evolve and play out when he actually came to Launceston or Tasmania and had a look at your training?
Yeah, I actually got asked about it on radio a couple of times. I hadn't heard it, and then got it played to me, and I think Fags saw it and just said, oh, do you know him? I said, yeah, I played a little bit of footy with him at Glenelg when he got dropped from Port Adelaide for a couple of weeks. So got to play with Kane for a couple of games, and so I know him a little bit, and I just shot him a text and said, Fags wants you to come down and just have a look. And he did, and he was pretty impressed, I think, from what I read afterwards. But Fags wasn't doing it in a malicious way. He wasn't angry or upset. I just think he thought Kane hadn't spent much time around the footy club and probably not in Brisbane at all, so come down to Tassie and have a look at the way we operate.
And I think that's been a really impressive element of the Brisbane Lions and a refreshing element of what they've brought to the competition in that space over the last 12 to 18 months. They look like they're enjoying it and embracing this, I suppose, now the new title of being a contender and being a team that wants to absorb the pressure of being a high performer. Is that accurate, Lock?
Yeah, I reckon. We can't control what people say about us. So we'd rather them talk about us being a good side than a bad side, and we embrace that and try not to let it affect us in any way, but you've certainly got to enjoy your footy, and you'd rather be having the media talk about how well you're going than how poor you're going. So certainly embrace that side of it.
Hey, Lachie, have you enjoyed being in Brisbane out of the AFL bubble in a way?
Yeah, I have. It's been a big change up from Perth, as Mick can attest to. It's a bit of a footy bubble over there, two teams in a footy dominant state, so they can't get enough of it over there. And Brizzy, in Queensland, it's mainly rugby. I'm not too familiar with rugby myself, so rugby league, rugby union, I think it's rugby league more here in Brizzy. But I think once we started winning some games, the Brizzy fans sort of jumped back on, the Brisbane people, the population here, and they jump on and start coming back to the Gabba, which was great for us and great for the footy club. So certainly saw a shift towards the back end of last year, even halfway through. Just walking around, grabbing a coffee, people were saying g'day a lot more than they did in the pre-season, that's for sure.
And that's a bit of a misconception, I think, at times in Queensland and in rugby league states, New South Wales, Queensland, that they are the heartland of that sport. When Sydney are up and going, and even when they're not going so well, they get bigger crowds, double the crowds of what the biggest NRL clubs do. And Brisbane Lions, when they're up and going, you know, really match the Broncos. So must be a really proud aspect of the last 12 months. You've only been there for the 12 months, but how you've emerged so quickly from, I think it was 5-win season to a top four. Take us inside the camp throughout that run and the belief and what you felt was a real change from what might have been there previously.
Yeah, I think when I walked through the doors, Mick, it was a really happy and bubbly place. You wouldn't know that they've come off sort of two seasons in a row where they've only won 5 games. They felt like they were heading in the right direction, and so did I. And I came at a pretty good time to jump in to a top four finish. But certainly in the early stages, I think we won the first three and then had a couple of big sort of blowout losses, and people might have thought, oh, here come the Brisbane of old coming back and it's going to be another wasted season and whatnot. But the coaching staff, led by Chris Fagan, obviously, sort of pointed out some areas that we need to improve in those couple of games, and we were able to do that for a bit. And then once we had the bye, came back and got on a bit of a roll after the bye, which was really nice. I think we won 9 in a row straight after that break. So it was obviously a happy place to be around. But the thing for me is, even when we lost, the feel around the place didn't change at all. It was pretty consistent throughout the year, which was great.
We're talking to Brisbane Lions star Lachie Neale here on RSN Central. Hey, look, when you first arrived there, obviously you're a football club that wanted to rise up the ladder. When did you think that group started to really believe that you could be a contender in that competition?
Well, I reckon they thought that they were going to improve a fair bit after the 2018 season. Whether they thought they'd be able to make finals or not, I'm not too sure, but it was probably, I think it was a run of two away games against GWS and Port Adelaide away, both of those games. And both of those grounds are pretty hostile. GWS obviously made the grand final, so they're a great side. And Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, always a tough ask no matter where they are on the ladder. And I think they were pretty much a top eight side at that stage of the season, or very close to it. So to go to Sydney one week and then Adelaide the next and win those, and I think it gave us 3 or 4 in a row. I think that's when the boys probably thought, oh, here we go, we're half a chance here.
And now we've got you in preparation for a huge event Friday night, All-Stars versus Vic. You're just packing your bags at the moment to head to Melbourne to play in that game. This must be a real career highlight for you.
Yeah, it is. It's an absolute honour to play in this game alongside some of the greats, and it's obviously for a great cause. So hopefully we can raise a lot of money for those affected and do our bit in helping those people. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a great experience.
And Nat Fyfe was seen rolling through the airport last night like some sort of absolute rock star, is the quote getting thrown around Melbourne at the moment. Are you looking forward to playing under a former mentor of yours?
Yeah, it would be good to play with Fifey again. It hasn't actually been that long, but I know what a star he is, and two-time Brownlow medalist now, so anytime you get to pull on a jumper and play alongside him, it's a pleasure. So I'll probably be in awe a bit of the stuff he does and some of the others I'm playing with. I don't think I'll have to do too much. The boys will take care of it, I reckon.
How competitive do you think it will be? Lockie, when the Ballers bounce there tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium?
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty competitive. I haven't had a briefing on it or anything, but we're gearing up for round one. It's only a few weeks away, so I think it'd be a waste of game time if the boys didn't put in a fair bit of effort. So I think you'll see a pretty tough contest.
And you're going to have the likes of Cripps, Fife and Neil. I think you're going to be the most important player in there when the ball hits the ground with the height on those two and maybe your vertical challenged aspect of your game. You might be pretty good when that ball hits the deck.
Yeah, hopefully. That's my game most weeks, Mickey. So hopefully the big boys bash and crash and it drops to the ground and I'm pretty close to that area so I can pick it up a little bit quicker than maybe those boys can.
Who do you want to play on?
Who do I want to play on?
Yeah.
No one.
Well, I think that's going to be the theme. Oh, you said you haven't been briefed, and I'm sensing, we just chatted about this last week, Phil Davis, we had him on the program anticipating his selection. Like, it was a bit awkward, but he didn't get picked. So we had him on, and probably in hindsight, not a bad thing for a fullback in a game like this where we anticipate the midfielders are just going to probably run their own race. I noticed that they haven't picked a defensive midfielder for either side. So I think you should have at least 40 along with everyone else hit through the midfield and put those back six for both teams under a bit of pressure.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can put the Vicks back six under a lot of pressure and get it inside. It looks like a pretty dangerous forward line that we've got. So I'm looking forward to playing with some of those guys. I think you just got to get it in there and they'll do the rest.
And I asked this of Phil last week, being a South Australian, Phil Davis. You're South Australian yourself. You're playing for the All-Star team and you know the age-old debate has become, you know, when is State of Origin returning? And Victoria, yep, they get to don the big V. You're wearing the All-Star jumper for a great cause. But going forward, how special would it be for an opportunity to represent South Australia and put on that jumper against the Victoria?
Yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to represent South Australia at some stage. I'm a proud South Australian and I think it'd be awesome to bring that concept back into the game. Whether it happens or not, I'm not too sure, but yeah, I'd love to do that in the future. That'd be great.
And like, just before we let you go, was Mickey Barlow hardly treated well like by Ross Lyon? He's still dirty that he sacked him.
That's not true. That's not true.
No comment.
No comment. He said.
I missed the first bit of that question. I just heard that Mick was filthy with Ross. I didn't actually hear the first bit.
I just said he's just filthy because he got sacked still. He thought there was at least another 50 games left in him at the Dockers.
Yeah, there probably was, but he played a couple at the Suns, so
yeah.
You can't complain. Yeah. How many did you end up playing at the Suns, Mick?
15 pretty memorable ones, mate.
Yeah. you finished with 20-odd, didn't you?
Keep going, mate. 35. just an average day at the park for you. But no, I finished with 35, albeit in a 102-point loss to Geelong. So,
Well.
I went all right.
Well, Lockie, the best of luck tomorrow night. And can you buy Dane Sorko's coffees? Because I think he got fined around 20-odd thousand, 30,000 last
year.
$4,000,
I think, was it?
Now he's got another $2,500 to kick off 2020, so he's basically nearly playing for free.
How is the health and well-being of the trainer that was absolutely obliterated in that contest?
Yeah, she's okay. She had a bit of a lump on the side of her head, but no signs of concussion, which is good for her.
All right, mate. Good luck tomorrow night against the Vicks. It should be a great match. Mm. It's terrific to see it. State of Origin back anyway for a wonderful cause and it'll be terrific, I think, to watch the best players go at it.
Yeah, it'll be good, Gareth, and I'll just let Lock know. I'll catch up with you. Are you staying at... I won't actually say where you're staying, but I think I know where you're staying. Fifey and I, and I'm just going to drop a couple of names.
How many names do you want to drop today?
Just go down towards Albert Park and walk three or four holes illegally tomorrow.
Okay.
You can come along to that.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Legally, I said, right, not then. Illegally.
Make sure you get a photo for his social media platform so we really know that... Mick, you think Mick's a good mate? Just to prove it.
I'll get Mick to chuck it on his Instagram story. And what do? You retweet it.
Yeah, he's got a couple of blue ticks, but anyway. All right, thanks, Locke. Good man.
No worries. See you guys. Thanks.
He's a good player, Lachie Neal, and a terrific man as well. And he got 46 touches there the other day in that practice match against Port Adelaide. And he was about 4 or 5 lengths in front at the 400-metre mark in the Brownlow medal there last year.
Yeah. And it's the story. I was thinking about this morning. We just mentioned Nat Fyfe. He's a 2-time Brownlow medalist, Nat Fyfe, with the potential to win.
He can't win a Brownlow when his side finishes last this year.
Well, he nearly did it last year. So that's the question. I think he'll drag his team across the line in enough games this year to make them really competitive, not to finish in that discussion for the wooden spoon. So he could potentially win another one or two Brownlows, but a player like Lachie Neal, and there's always going to be the situation, but at the moment there's some really, really dominant midfielders like Martin, like Fyfe, that just jump out off the page and jump out off the ground when they play. Lachie Neal, 46. If Nat Fyfe has 46, which he never really does, he's three votes, no worries. Lachie Neal at times can get that 35 possession game, and not, when you're watching it live, not jump out off the ground at you just for the fact that he's an accumulator and a very good at doing it, but he can go under the radar a bit. So I think that's going to work against him at times in that Brownlow vetting and hurt his chances. Maybe one day being a Brownlow medalist.
He was still top 5, I think, last year. So he had a wonderful season. Mm. I think that sometimes he probably needs to kick the football a little bit more, but if he can do that and hurt the side a little bit more.
Those sweeping handballs are as good as and I probably was still too young to really remember Diesel Williams at his best, and when he could pick up a ball in traffic around 3 or 4 opponents and sweep out a 20-metre handball to a player in motion. Lachie Neal does that as well as anyone in the competition at the moment by 4 or 5 lengths.
He was really good against Richmond when I watched them play at the 50. MCG.
They were poor. The Lions were poor,
but they were still in the match thanks to Lachie. He was brilliant around the clearances.
Yeah, and I made a statement after that game. I was with a few mates, I think in a WhatsApp group with my former Fremantle mates. He said, we're on today.
Yeah.
I said that he wouldn't get 3 votes. I think I was doing the game for in comments for one of the stations, and I gave him 1 vote, I think, and I was strong on the fact that he was really, really good, but his team lost and he wouldn't get 3 Brownlow votes. I was made to look the fool, I think. I think he got 3. I'm going to look that up as we continue to discuss.
He was good that day, but I think that's when the Tigers really started to roll on towards another premiership that game against. Yeah. I think West Coast, and they were good against Fremantle as well. And they played some really good football, as we all know, at the back end of that season. So your article there in the West Australian, when you bagged the Fremantle Football Club saying they will finish last. So will you approach this season in the media to try and make yourself a big media name and be the Kane Corns?
Am I not a big media name when I'm doing a segment a week with the likes of Gareth
Hall?
Well,
you are, but are you going to be trying to get onto the back pages of all of the papers?
That's West Australia. I love West Australia. Me and you both love the place and are very fond of it. It's the best. I'm biased. I love it. It's the best state in Australia. This time of year can be a bit of a challenge around the content that's being provided. They're footy mad and they're starved of football, and it's February. We're playing Marsh Community Series games, which it's Mickey Mouse. Neither of their teams have played yet. They're looking for content. That was said. They ran with it.
So you wrote it or were you quoted?
I was quoted on a program I do over there, the Cobbler's Hour. It's a new venture of mine for the pre-season, a 4 or 5 week stint we're doing with that. And we just had a discussion around what we thought would be the case for West Coast and Fremantle across the year. So I said it how I saw it. I see them probably finishing down the bottom, towards the bottom, but validated it with the fact that, I think they can spike really quickly. Okay. They've got some midfielders there that are 20 to 30 games away from really helping out Nat Fyfe, Brayshaw, Chera, those type of players. And then I also do a piece for the West Australian. So I saw it as an opportunity to write that piece and validate the reasons. Stick to my guns a bit and put my hand up and say, this is where I see them finishing. Mm-hmm. And these are the deficiencies that they have for the short term. but I was strong in the fact that I'm still a Fremantle person. I've got the Fremantle membership, Gareth. Talked about the year of 2016. We were premiership favourites going into 2016. By June, we were 0-10.
Yeah.
So in February, we're all experts. We're all experts, but no one has a crystal ball.
No. So you probably will have, you might have egg on your face.
Well, mid-season. I guarantee you, when Fremantle could finish 17th, they could finish 12th.
Turn into the Brad
if
Hardy.
If I finish 17th, if they finish 17th, people will be saying, you're an idiot. Why? You said they were going to. Well, you've got, I'm having an opinion. Now, I'm going to see where it sticks.
You're paid to have an opinion these days. I can't wait for Friday night. Who wins, the Vics or the All-Stars?
I think the Vics, I think the Vics will be too good. I'm intrigued to see how it's played. I'm not 100% sure. They're all saying it's going to be played with a fair bit in it, but whether that's the case, I'm not completely convinced. But it should be a good spectacle, and obviously we don't need to go on about what the cause is for and how good that's going to be.
Hey mate, enjoy the rest of your week.
Still haven't found out if Lachie Neale got those 3 votes.
I don't think he did.
I think he got 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it. He got 2.
Yeah,
should be easy to find out nowadays. 2 votes he got. Against Richmond when he had 50.
Okay.
So Dustin Martin had 20 and kicked 2. I think he got the 3.
All right, Mickey, we'll catch you tomorrow, I think, for the
Friday
lunch.
Back in tomorrow. Looking forward to bringing a couple of special guests along who are playing in that game later that night. So we're getting access to players on game day. How good?
Yeah, looking forward to that. A couple of stars, 2 of the AFL competition. Good on you, Mickey.
See you, G.